Well, as we mentioned last week, in honor of Mother's Day in May, we're going to be focusing the whole month on the sacred feminine. That presence of God that we feel and experience beyond words. That voice of God that speaks to us as intuition and the urge to create. That creative force of the universal soul that is individualized in each of us, that pushes us forward to perform in life, like a stage mother who knows what her child can do, as we move forward along our spiritual path into the full light of true self-discovery. Now, last Mother's Day, I gave this quote, but it's one of my favorites when it comes to describing the mother love of God that knows only the magnificent potential of her child. It's by Picasso. And Picasso said, "When I was a child, my mother said to me, 'If you become a soldier, you'll be a general. If you become a monk, you will become the Pope.' Well, I became a painter, and I wound up as Picasso." So last week we considered that because we are one with the one principle of life, that is the unity in back of all things, and that it is both masculine and feminine, that the masculine and feminine energies both dwell within each of us, whether we're a male or a female. And we looked at that limitless creative force in us as the holy darkness of the unknown, the sacred feminine within us that is impregnated or infused with unlimited divine ideas that we've yet to discover about ourself and life and to bring to light in our conscious mind. Ways of being, bless you, in this world that we've yet to discover, we've yet to know, that we can draw from in that invisible potential within us and bring forward into self-expression in a very visible, practical way that will enhance and enrich our life experience here and now. And we discovered that we learn more about ourselves when we empty our mind and we let go of old thoughts and we listen with our heart for the inspiration that brings about new thought. And so Mother's Day is a wonderful time for us to look at the sacred feminine as the universal sacred heart that beats in holy rhythm with the universal divine mind that is the all-knowingness and light of God. So the title of my talk this morning is Looking Through the Eyes of Love. And we've probably all heard the saying, there is only one beautiful child in the world, and every mother has it. So we'll be looking at the maternal force of God, that unconditional love that is forever proclaiming, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." An earthly mother's love so often reflects the unconditional love of God that knows only the beauty and perfection of its creation, that when we see a homely creature in nature, like the blobfish that looks more like a ball of slime than a fish, or the star-nosed mole, who is defined by 22 fleshy appendages that act more like ultra-sensitive fingers than a nose? Oh yeah, I looked these up for you, and I'm not even going to mention the ones I'm leaving out. But let me tell you, they are things only a mother could love. So if it is true that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, then a mother, when she is looking at her child, is looking through the eyes of love. And if we would behold all that is beautiful and holy and perfect in this life, the child of God in ourself, the child of God in each other, the beauty and the holiness and the goodness of all life, the one creation with which God is well pleased, then we need to be willing to look at it all through the eyes of love. Now, this is a fine idea, but let's face it, we don't always feel the love, whether we're a mother or not. In fact, there may be some of us here who didn't have an earthly mother who told us we were beautiful or capable, who didn't encourage us to be all that we can be. In fact, some of us may carry with us a self-image that makes us feel anything but beautiful. And we may be weighed down with ideas of ourselves that make us feel anything but capable. Because even a mother can forget to look at her child through eyes of love. And let's face it, no matter how old we get, no one can make us feel quite so guilty as our mother can. Like the middle-aged son who phoned his mom and asked cheerfully, "Mother, how are you?" "I'm not doing so good," she said. "I've been weak." The son, concerned, said, "Mother, why are you so weak?" She said, "Because I haven't eaten in 23 days. Well, the son stammered and felt the usual and familiar guilt coming up in his chest, but he had to say something, so he said, "Well, that's terrible, Mother." And then he asked, "Why haven't you eaten in 23 days? To which she responded with a sigh, "Because I didn't want my mouth to be filled with food should you call." Mom, yeah. But even though some of us may not have been encouraged in our life, we all want to feel that we are valuable in this world, that we have a purpose for being alive, that we matter. But most of the time we live in fear, not only that we won't be a Picasso, but that we won't create anything worthwhile in our life. And because it's easy for us to believe that we have no value, it is easy for us to look at everyone else and judge them as valueless too. In fact, it seems to be far easier for us to look at each other and see ourselves as separate, but equally worthy of criticism and failure, than it is for us to look at each other and see ourselves as one perfect life, equally valuable together. Why? Because we look at each other through the eyes of our own self-reference and self-perception. And most of the time, we're not looking at ourselves through eyes of love. In fact, often we are looking at ourselves through eyes of self-doubt and guilt and even self-loathing. And so it's difficult for us, and possible actually, for us to see anything beyond what we believe about ourselves. We are immersed in an unlimited flow of unconditional love that is everywhere present, that flows above and beneath, around, and all through all life, and is ever ready and ever willing every moment to flow through our heart with more than enough love for us to individually extend to the whole world. But when our heart is closed, when our mind is filled with thoughts that are negative and guilty, then when love flows through that heavy veil that we have put in front of our own eyes, it doesn't look much like love at all. In A Course in Miracles, we read, "Child of God, you were created to create the good, the beautiful, and the holy." We could say that each of us is the creator or mother of everything we see. Because what we see in ourselves and in life is what we've given life to in our mind. We see the offspring of our beliefs. And like the urge of any mother, we nurture our beliefs, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because they belong to us. When we were kids and we'd gotten ourselves into trouble and our mom wasn't very happy with us because something we'd done had gotten us where we were, and just as our negative and guilty thoughts often get us right where we are, and yet she was right there to defend us like a mother hen. If a neighbor or a teacher or a stranger had something bad to say about us, even if we had done the thing that the neighbor was going to tell on us about. Because a mother's attitude is, "Don't you mess with my child." And that's often how we feel about our belief system. "Don't you mess with what I think." We defend it because it belongs to us. "Don't mess with my thinking, even though the thoughts are killing me." But some of our thoughts need to be messed with. They need to be changed. Those limited and negative thoughts that keep us from experiencing the love that we are. Those beliefs and those thoughts that we defend and protect like a mother animal defends and protects her child with her life. In A Course in Miracles, we read, "As God's creative thought proceeds from Him to you, so must your creative thought proceed from you to your creations." We sacrifice the beauty, the perfection, the holiness, the goodness in our life when we are resistant to change. When we defend and protect our thoughts, whether those thoughts are making us sick, unhappy, unsuccessful, filled with judgment, criticism, and self-righteousness. Whether those thoughts keep us thinking from childish insecurity or adolescent immaturity. And whether those thoughts keep us blaming and looking back and pointing our finger rather than moving forward in freedom and in love. The beautiful thing about mother love, whether it's divine or earthly, is that mother love sees the innocence in her child, no matter what her child has done. She can stand with her child and see that innocence, whether that child is standing in divorce court or criminal court. And so as we look at our thoughts, the offspring of our beliefs that keep us feeling guilty, keep us pointing the finger in blame, those thoughts that proceed from us and create our life, we can call upon that holy, powerful, maternal love within us, and we can choose to see through her loving eyes. And we can see the innocence in our creations that are just beyond our judgments, no matter what we or anyone else has done. Again, from A Course in Miracles, your only calling here is to devote yourself with active willingness to the denial of guilt in all its forms, from everyone whom you accord release from guilt, you inevitably learn of your innocence. It's time we just let ourselves and everyone else off the hook. Yeah. Do we? Can you give me an amen, Wilbert? All right. That's what I wanted so long. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, on that happy note, let's move inside to that place within us, to that sacred heart of God that beats within us and knows us, that has given us birth and known our innocence from the beginning. That love has not changed. That love does not judge. That love loves us unconditionally. And right now, let us each feel that love. It is as we look through this love that doesn't blame, this love that feels no guilt, this love that is willing to let go and be in this holy moment of innocence. We all have that love within us. In the darkness of the unknown within us is every perfect idea of God, including the idea of each of us as the perfect child. We are the creation with which God is well pleased. And if God is pleased with us, who are we to argue with that? Let us feel the love this morning. And as we go through our day today, on this Mother's Day, let us feel that love for all of our creations, everyone we see. for they belong to us. And when you feel ready, open your eyes. The card I got from my son this year began with these words: where there's love, there's a mother. Mother love comes in all shapes and styles and sizes and genders. Love is the only thing that matters in this world. No matter how successful, we may be judged by the standards of this world. Because without love, our life is meaningless. Because love is the only thing that's real. In A Course in Miracles, we read, "You cannot really give anything but love to anyone or anything. Nor can you really receive but love from them. When you want only love, you will see nothing else." So I invite all of us as a spiritual practice this week, and beginning with this Mother's Day, to spend time each day to turn within and quiet your mind. Be willing to let go of guilt and blame and the past, because it just keeps you from feeling the powerful love that you are. And let yourself quietly and wordlessly surrender to the Sacred Heart of God that has known your innocence from the beginning. And then let that unconditional love seep into every part of your being until your heart is full and your mind is lit up with love enough for the whole world. And then throughout each day, remember the innocence that is at the heart of all life. And remind yourself that no matter what you do each day, whether you succeed in doing it or whether you fail in the effort, the only thing that will matter in each day, because it's the only thing that's real and everlasting, is the love that you give and the love that you receive when you're looking at it all through the eyes of love. Namaste.